Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire. Enlighten us with your celestial fire. For if you are with us, then nothing else matters. And if you are not with us, then nothing else matters. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a joy and a delight to be with you this morning. You probably recognize I'm not Reverend Andrea, right? Y'all have figured that out by now. I'm Tommy Rogers, Executive Director of Bishop Anderson House at Rush University Medical Center. Anyone heard of us before? Looking around, few, very good. That means you probably get the diocesan news and you see those things. One of the things I love to tell folks about my job is as an Episcopal priest, it's really hard to find a Monday through Friday job. Did you know that? You all sort of have expectations of priests that we should like celebrate the Eucharist or preach or do things like that on a Sunday morning. And what I love about my job is I work Monday through Fridays and I get to pick and choose which Sundays I want to be a priest like this in this fancy sort of outfit. And I've gotten rather picky, to be honest with you, and I only go to the churches I hear good things about these days. So that says something about you all as a community. I've heard great things about you all from Jim Steen and from Reverend Andrea, so it's a joy and a delight to be with you here this morning. So I have a joke with you this week that you can take with you. I will warn you, the 8 o'clockers laughed. If you all don't laugh, there's a problem, because people were not awake at 8, just to let you know. And then I want to think with you briefly about the gospel passage we heard. Sound like a deal? Because you all don't want to be here for 45 minutes, right, on a day like today with the snow. And there might be a ball game or something happening later. I'm not sure. So, my joke. I promise you can use this other places. So, years ago, I visited Israel, and our tour guide told us this joke when we were in Capernaum, and I absolutely love it, and you can use it. So, are you ready? Why is Peter called St. Peter? Y'all can talk back to me. Any clues? Anyone? I'm looking at Deacon Roger. I'm like, you can't answer. You've heard this. Anyone?
He's the rock.
You all are good. That's not quite it, though. Anybody? His name was Peter. Come on, y'all. It was in the gospel passage. Because he lived with his mother-in-law. If you all did not get that, you'll get it in the parking lot, I promise you. There you go. I even got applause. So I now have a plan C. So if my day job doesn't work out at Bishop Anderson House, my plan B is parish ministry. Plan C is a stand-up comedian. So in that order.
Keep your day job.
Oh, keep my day job. Wow. I'm leaving. Bye. See y'all later. I love you all. Andrew already warned me this is the type of congregation y'all were, and you all are living up to it, just so we're clear. Well, this morning I want to think with you about the gospel we heard just a moment ago from the Gospel of Mark. I have to be honest with you and tell you I love Mark because back years and years ago when I was in seminary, I took Greek, which I do not recommend. And I love Mark because it's very simple. It's probably the first gospel written, so the Greek is really easy to translate, not like some other passages. Could you imagine that passage we just heard from 1 Corinthians? No, thank you. That's awful. So that's what I love about Mark. And the other thing that's really cool about Mark is the role of women. Did you all know that? It is the gospel that mentions women more than any other. We have the story of the Syrophoenician woman, for example. We have the women at the tomb who are the first to report of Jesus' resurrection. So the Gospel of Mark is really an amazing book. So I have two pieces of homework, one I'll give you at the end of the sermon. One is maybe during Lent, because it's around the corner, you might want to take an afternoon where you read the Gospel of Mark from beginning to end. It's not that long, I promise you. You can do it in one afternoon and see what comes up for you. See what it's like to read the whole story of Jesus fresh, with fresh eyes, not what the church has to say about Jesus. Uh-oh, there might be something different than what we say on Sunday and what you read. But to really experience it. But I want to tell you a story that really touched me that I ran across a couple years ago. This is a true story. There was a woman, and she had recently lost her son. And she was really struggling with that, the grief that goes with that. Because if you think about it, that's not the way the cycle of life is supposed to go. It's supposed to be the other way around. Kids are supposed to bury their parents, not parents burying a child. And this woman was just inconsolable in her grief and couldn't figure out how to get out of it. So she went and she saw a very wise spiritual teacher. And they lived in a small village. And the spiritual teacher said, "I want you to do something. I want you to go and knock on every door of every person's house in this village and find someone who has not experienced grief." You all probably can imagine she didn't come back. Grief has touched each and every one of our lives in different ways. It could be as simple as losing a pet that was a favorite. They're parts of our family. It could be as close as losing someone very precious to you or a relationship that doesn't work out. But each of our lives have been touched by grief. Now, this didn't just miraculously solve this woman's problem and the grief that she experienced, but what it did do was allow her to realize she wasn't alone, that other people also carry grief. And it opened up a space in her heart of compassion for herself and for others. I wonder if that's a little bit of what's going on in our gospel passage this morning. Here's Jesus. He has his agenda. He starts his day in Capernaum in the synagogue, and he's teaching. He casts out a demon. And then he wants to teach some more, but what happens? Someone dies. And he goes and he works a miracle. And you know, there's a bad side to miracles, actually. If you see a miracle happen in someone's life, you start to want one in your own. You see that in the gospel? Everyone starts to come to Jesus. Can you heal? Can you cast out this demon? He tries to keep his ministry and his work a secret, but he's not very successful. Everyone comes, and they want something from him. And Jesus gives them what they're looking for. I think what's so powerful about this passage is the way that some 2,000 years later, it's still relevant for us today and speaks to us. As I was sitting with this passage, of course, the role of women came out to me as I was sitting with the passage this week. But the other thing that's really relevant to the work I do as a hospital chaplain is the way Jesus works this miracle. Did you notice it? All he does is touch her hand. The power of touch. Nothing else. You know, we have other healing stories where Jesus spits or Jesus does something amazing. Yet in this story, it's really simple. He touches her hand. Now, if you just take this gospel passage at face value, you might not think it has a lot to say about the role of women. What? Jesus rose this woman from the dead just so she could go around and hurry off in the kitchen and prepare something to eat? Well, it's a little more complex than that. See, the word for healing in this gospel passage is the same Greek word we get for the word salvation or wholeness. How does that shift the meaning of this passage? Jesus came, he touched this woman, he brought her healing, he brought her wholeness. And guess what else I'm going to do to you? The word serve, it's the word we get for deacon. Jesus ordains her. Boy! Now for us as Episcopalians, that's not a stretch. We ordain men and women. But for some of our brothers and sisters who don't ordain women, that could be problematic. Jesus heals this woman, brings her wholeness, salvation, and ordains her a deacon. There's power in that story. So are you ready for your big piece of homework this week? Here's your big piece. Uh-oh, one person's saying no. He's in school still. He's like, nope, no homework. I promise this is easy. Who in your life, who in your family, in your place of work, in your circle of friends, needs that healing and that wholeness? Who do you need to go and take some time to see this week and simply hold their hand? Not say anything, just hold their hand. You'd be surprised how many times in my work as a hospital chaplain, that's all I do. I don't say a lot. But believe it or not, that's the hardest part. Because some people are in situations where you want to fix something, or you want to say something to make it better, but they're in a situation where that's not true. You know, as part of the human family and all of us being interconnected, that's the most powerful thing we can do is be present to other people, that ministry of presence. If you go back and you read the story of Job, here's Job and he's lying in this state where he's afflicted. And his friends actually do the right thing. They go and see him. And everything in the story goes well until they do what? Open their mouths. Because then all of a sudden, well, what sin have you committed, Job, to cause this to happen to you? And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But when they come and they're present and they bear witness to his suffering, they bring the presence of God and they also assure him that he's not alone. Much like the woman I told you about with the grief and figuring out she's not alone. So, go home this afternoon before that big ball game or whatever's happening. And spend just a moment or two in silence. Maybe it's even your drive home from church. And say, God, who are you calling me to bring healing and wholeness to? And to simply hold their hand and to be present to them. And listen and do it. Thanks be to God. Amen.